what you want to be prepared for is when your client goes out to dinner with a friend and that friend brings up financial wellness, right? And who their advisor is and all that stuff. And all of a sudden your client is telling them that you do everything for them, from taxes to planning to trust, right? And they just take care of everything. You know, that's the unsung hero, I think, in the entire story, because mm-hmm. it's easy to quantify. The unsung hero, the less quantifiable one, is the revenue lost when you're not offering your client that pitch they could make to their friends.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Advisor Lab. I'm your host, Derek Schwartz, and our guest today is Richard Levina, co-founder and CEO at TaxFile.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We're excited to have you because obviously a lot of our listeners are financial professionals, of course, and investors, and taxes is always a hot topic. And there's been no shortage of discussions around Capitol Hill and so on. So you're a CPA, a former PwC, and obviously you had a very, very clear career path, right? I guess maybe a good place to start is, what made you leave to build TaxFile?
Yeah, well, I'm sure as you're aware, and a lot of your listeners are, that, you know, there's a declining amount of CPAs right in the workforce, and AI the last, you know, handful of years has kind of accelerated that. You know, I sit on the board of a few accounting schools, and it's you know, you look at enrollment numbers, and it's not the same as it was around 15 years ago, and even, you know, almost 11 years ago now when I started the business, I felt there was a better way to deliver it. You know, I felt like the bigger firms have like their niche, right, with their big public clients, right? Then you have like the middle market that handles a lot of business work, right? But not, you know, from the audit side, from the, you know, so from the insurance side, from the advisory side, right? But not really, let's say, the mom and pop SMB market, which is then left for like everyone that's like a sole practitioner, right? And mm-hmm. and those are the people that are retiring, you know, in the next 15 years, something like 70% of managing partners in that cohort are going to retire. And the writing was on the wall 11 years ago. And I felt like if I didn't, you know, create a platform that could create efficiencies to get returns to CPAs in a way that makes them comfortable where they could stick with their day job, whether that's a controller at a not-for-profit or helping their wife run their telemedicine business or whatever it is, right? They could side gig, you know, a good amount of volume. And starting from the angle of tax is the angle I wanted to take, because obviously accounting is a big market. You know, we're talking insurance, we're talking bookkeeping. A lot of CPAs have never even done taxes, right? But the compliance work is always going to be there, and it's regulated as well, right? You know, you know, Claude, for as great as it is, can't get a P-10 and file with the IRS. It just can't, you know. It could work well as a TurboTax alternative, but that's not really the market that we focus on. The market that we focus on for people that have somewhat more complex taxes and work with an advisor and need that help, consultation help that goes beyond the tax return. You know, I think the thesis has always maintained the same. It's just kind of been accelerated with AI and with some of the tools that we've added to the platform, and, you know, now up to over 7,000 CPAs in network, which is pretty big, the second largest in the United States. And delivering that service via these advisor channels is now the core go to market, I would say.
Advisors who manage wealth have historically kept kind of tax planning at arm's length. Why is that separation persisted? And do you think it's starting to break down a bit?
No, for sure. If everyone that we talk to needs to offer taxes, they just have to figure out how, right? So you usually have three ways, right? So it's either you build it in-house or buy it in-house. You'll buy a small firm, right? If you're large enough, Now the multiples are getting crazy. It's too expensive, not even viable. But that was always kind of path one. Path two is you refer it out, but then you lose complete control of your client. From some of the things that you mentioned, I'll get into kind of the separation church and state a little bit. And then now it's embed, which is what we focus on, right? And there's a couple companies doing that in market now. So when you talk to advisors like, whoa, no, I'm not going to deal anything with tax because I don't want that liability on me. Right. Maybe I have a CPA, but they're okay. And that's as best of a, let's say, tax answer you used to historically get. If your advisor didn't offer tax and you asked them, hey, can you also just do my taxes? Cause you have all my other documents anyways. Why would I have to go to someone else and restart a new relationship, provide them all the documents essentially I'm providing you, right? And I don't want to do that. I want to start over again. You know where my kids go to school. You know exactly what I want to do in my business, my rental properties, my income. You're supposed to be in charge of my financial wellness. And I think that tax is a big component of that. I lose a lot of financial wellness in taxes, right? So how is it that you don't have control over this? And it was mainly for that separation church and say regulatory risk and not being the expert, because ideally you want that data so you could advise them better, but then it used to be you have to own that data because it had to go buy a firm and bring them in house. So now obviously we're in 2026, what we've built is an off-the-shelf product that has, with this network that I mentioned, you could plug your clients into. They do it all on platform, so you get access to all that data, right? And you could govern that relationship. You could, you could call out the SLAs that you need, right? Not every client book looks the same. We call them high net worth individuals, but what type of high net worth individuals are they? Like what we have here in Miami with foreign income, a lot of foreign income, right? Or or in the Midwest, right? Which maybe it's less so. And so every book is unique, and that also kind of hurt, I guess, the standardization in the past of offering tax services, because then you need to find a firm that specializes in your clientele base. But now, essentially, with TaxFile and with 7,000 CPAs across all 50 states, and having been doing this for 11 years, right? We get subsections and cater those pros to fit, your client's needs in terms of their specialty, their complexity, right? There's seasonality. Do they always extend because they have K-1s that are coming super late? Or do they fall on time? Or are they, like, for example, a lot of West Coast individuals have restricted stock and they work for Apple, right? Do they need that type of help, right? And so productizing that has obviously been a journey. It's taken years, but it's honestly like the silver bullet, because we've been listening to our advisors carefully building this product, and it's built with them in mind, making sure that they don't have the administrative headache. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these advisors are strapped for time and they do a lot of things on their own. And because you may offer tax, but if you have to put on a bunch of hours on your plate, it may not make sense for you. So you have to make it so that it doesn't put a lot of administrative burden, but they do get the benefit of servicing their clients with additional value.
So it's obviously a great tool for client retention in that respect. Shifting a little bit, you sit on ETAAC.
Yeah, the ETAC.
Which advises the IRS directly. What should advisors be paying attention to right now on the regulatory tax administration side of things?
Yeah, so right now floating through Congress with a TAS Act, T-A-S, okay? And there's a few things that go into the TAS Act. It's supposed to help digitally transform the IRS a little bit more, which is needed. It's definitely needed. I know everyone's in cost-cutting mode, but this is long-term cost-cutting with some upfront reorganization and additional focus. And also part of it is shoring up what we call PTIN. So PTIN is what you need to file a return with the IRS on behalf of someone else, okay? And there's this whole big database of hundreds of thousands of PTINs that needs to be kind of cleaned up and enforced it a little bit, because you have unregulated, unlicensed preparers out there. And the IRS essentially wants to start standardizing it a little bit more. I don't know if you remember EITC credits, right? But you know, that was like the Wild West, and there was a lot of fraud that happened. And I think the total fraud number in terms of fraudulent, let's say tax gap, right? Like the amount that they should have gotten back, but they got back a lot more than that. It was something like $21 billion more.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of that was perpetrated by just poor quality of preparers. So the TAS Act has some focus on quality driven via the private markets, right? What they call the distribution partners, okay, like CPA firms and IRS enrolled agents that work with the public hand on hand. There's a lot more of them than there are IRS agents or anyone in government, right? So, and they understand your position better as your CPA or IRS enrolled agent than the government ever could. So with that, it's bringing a closeness to the regulatory environment, to let's say the private market and providing them, enabling more tools, you know, to service your clients faster with tax transcripts is a big thing in there, right? Tax transcripts is massive, you know, when you're trying to get caught up to speed, right? Or you have to redo a filing or something like that. You don't want your client waiting months. And sometimes there's some big tax penalties that are just burdensome that your client may feel that they don't owe. Right. And you're in limbo until you get this tax transcript to start the process. Right. You have to do a power of attorney, you have to file it. And it takes a little bit of time. So there's a lot of cleaning up in terms of the efficiencies there on the IRS side, which I would say is only gonna benefit. I've been on the committee now for a couple of years and it's come a long way. Especially after the shutdown this past year, I'm super surprised to see the progress they've made in, you know, let's say, call it 6 months or so.
When it comes to kind of going back to the client retention side of things, like, is there a life stage where it matters more to the client, whether it's the estate planning side of things, legacy planning, or is it maybe when some of the individuals hit their biggest earning years and maybe they have a lot of stock options and things like that they have to consider, or maybe it's a sale of a business. Do you see any theme there that advisors should kind of consider?
I think it depends on your clientele base. Some that have younger, right? So, for example, we have a great partnership with Robinhood. Those are younger folks, right? Their needs are totally different than some of the RAs we work with that have had that book of business for 15 years, you know? You got to pick up the phone to work through, some of their advice and planning. So it depends, because the tools those are complete opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of the advice that we're giving, the tools that we're using, and the compliance work that we got to do. And then the real work is all the stuff that revolves around that. So, for example, when they're younger, they're going to be trading a lot, day trading. There's a lot more recognized gains, you know, so you have to get on the front foot well before year end to be like, hey, look, you know, maybe you want to hold some positions here. You have to take an active, a much active agile hand is the theme there. They also have zero estate planning. It's like across the board, right? So, you know, your 1041, right? Your trusts and things like that should be forefront. And then when it comes to like on the, let's say the slightly older generation side, they're looking more for more value, right? They maybe had a CPA that they were paying an ungodly amount of money to, and you never worked with them as the advisor. You know, you kind of got the tax return every now and then, or you've heard about tax bills, maybe help them plan something once upon a time, right? But if you're going to now propose to them, hey, look, you know, I could do your taxes, keep it all in house. Let's refresh planning. What I've seen in the tools that they're looking for and the advice is, first of all, am I going to get more value? I'm going to save with you. And the answer is yes, because you could offer it for probably less than a brick and mortar CPA is going to offer it for. Okay. So you could save them money right up front just on fees. Okay. Two, it's got to be packaged together with the other suite of services you're offering, you know, like depending on what other value add services you give, right? It has to tie in, right? So if we're doing some type of, estate planning, right? We offer a tax planning tool that works alongside of it. I'm sure there's a ton of other. Holistic Plan is obviously great, a little bit more meatier in terms of like the upfront data they need and sliders to kind of adjust and plan on a client by client basis. But, you know, they're expecting something from that side of the coin, from the tax side of the coin, alongside, the pitch to now do your taxes in house. And I would say that once you get them there, they won't leave, you know, it's because you're going to simplify their life. They put a premium simplicity as well. I would say those are the two separate ends of the spectrum.
So if I'm an RIA, for example, just like walk us through what tax file for RIAs looks like in practice. What does a firm get on day one? How does it integrate with their business from that standpoint?
Yeah. So depending on how your setup is, right? Are you more digitally advanced? Do you have an IT department? Do you not? Do you license all your software? Do you have proprietary software, right? So there's a range there, right? And that would determine how you would deploy, you know, the CPAs to your clients, okay? That'll be done via a discovery call. Day one, it's like, okay, have you ever offered taxes before? What's your setup like? How many clients do you have? Do they look more like the Robin Hood whippersnappers, or, you know, are they, do they have more gray hair, right? Have they ever asked you for tax, you know, before? Like, and that's anecdotal, but it helps us kind of get a qualitative type of grasp on the client. Mm-hmm. So it's very client focused from the onset, from the discovery like that, okay? Then we start diving into your firm and how you operate it, okay? How much bandwidth you have for this actual project, right? Like, are we going to be fully white labeling this thing where it's going to be underneath, complete underneath your brand on a dashboard, on a tax center, right? That your clients log into every single year, right? To access their documents, right? Does it look like Morgan Stanley's app, right? Or
you can do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're fully embedded into the Robinhood app today. You know, it's called Robinhood Concierge. Robinhood Concierge Tax, and it's completely embedded into Robinhood. Yeah.
So Ricky, I mean, that Robinhood is no joke. When you had to be competing with a lot of other options, what distinguished your platform from your competitors? Was there anything specific that Robinhood said, here's why we like you and this is why we're going with you? Like, that's a big win.
The things I mentioned, which is the scale, yep, and the complexity that we can handle. We handle complexity at high scale, okay? And we're not charging billions of dollars for it either, right? So it beats market rate in terms of the brick and mortar, right? So we set out years ago to launch an off-the-shelf product that could integrate with the most tech advanced kind of like trading platform as Robinhood, right? Down to the mom and pop that doesn't have that, okay? But at the end of the day, serving a high net worth individual at their needs, meeting them at their needs, okay? And one size fit all wasn't the answer. We had to make multiple kind of product SKUs, I just mentioned, that involves in this kind of like discovery process that, you know, I'm walking through here, which is understanding what the, you know, where the needs are, meeting the client there. If their needs are more tech advanced, right? Embedding it, white labeling it, providing your advisors, because they're already using a ton of other tech, right? With the same thing, the same tech, but for taxes, okay? And if you're more, you know, hey, I have 120 clients, I'm a sole prop here, can you offer taxes? I need a lot of help. Do you have a team that could help me just with some outreach and collecting documents, right? But I can't embed you anywhere. Not a problem either. Give them a website. We set them up with a landing page. You'll have their logo on it too, kind of out of the box, right? And your clients don't necessarily need to do much online. You know what I mean? So we run the gamut. You know, and I would say that the wins that we get are consistently because we could do more complex tax returns for better than market rate. Okay. And when there's tech needed, It's we compete with the best of them, as I, you know, we just mentioned with Robinhood there, and then Empower is another name that we, you know, that we service now, going on year three here. They do millions of 401k plans, right, and have, you know, almost 1,000 advisors. So these are some of our trusted parties that use Taxwell.
So your platform, is it appropriate for only a certain size client, or you can support an RIA under $1 billion,
absolutely,
all the way up?
All the way up, yeah, all the way up. Even if you're just looking to offer, I don't know, $30,000 of tax services, you know, to in total, like, you know, like in tax fees to your clients, because you don't have that big of a book of business, you know, that's that's totally fine. You know, we can flex down, and that's what we built it for. You know, there's about 14,000 independent RIAs out there. You know, we take that market seriously. We feel that there's a massive gap, a value gap in the industry right now. No one is stepping up to the plate to provide them with tax value add services. And, you know, that's what we challenge our team here to yes, build it for the enterprises of the world, you know, for the bigger players out there, but, for the bigger platforms, but also for the sole props.
It seems almost too good to be true. I mean, what a platform, and what a need there is out there. What are some of the common mistakes that you've seen advisors make when they try to add tax prep to their business?
It's not flipping a switch. You know, like, sure, you know, you may not have ongoing administrative time, but just like you onboard any vendor, you're going to have some upfront time. So like for anything, for procurement vendor, you know, accountant, in-house accountant, CFO, whatever it is, right? Like anytime you add a new component to your business, administrative wise or sales wise, product wise, right? It's going to involve some of your due diligence, right? So that's simply what we ask of our potential partners is, hey, look, give it a good shot. Put in the effort upfront. By the time tax time comes around here, it's going to be smooth. Okay. But we need to discover what we need to discover. If we ask questions, we're going to get answers back, right? We make assumptions, and that's where there's a mismatch in expectations. And that's where our clients traditionally fail. It's not because we couldn't meet them. It's because now it's, you know, April 1st. And we're not meeting the needs when we could have solved it because we would have had better aligned expectations. Right. So putting up for an effort to really allow us to understand the book of business and meeting their needs where they're at. You know, obviously we have the onboarding process now down to a science, but being truthful and honest and upfront in that process is almost everything. Right. So I know that's a simple answer, but it's true. It's just the attention to it, right? It's not just, oh yeah, tax. Oh yeah, just signed a deal with them. It's like, no. We got to dive in. We understand who they are. Have you offered taxes to them? Where do they currently go, right? How are you going to offer it? When are you busy between January and April? So I know not to bug you to ask a follow-up questions, right? How many team members do I need to be on this, right? Do they all come in late? What type of tax returns are we doing, right? Would you like for us to send out some notices on our name, your name? These are that's a level of granularity we try to get out and do that during discovery.
I mean, you bring up a good point there. Like, tax season capacity is brutal. How do firms maintain the quality of service when everything's hitting at once?
Yeah. So the majority of these clients extend, right? And the goal is to sometimes you need to safe harbor extend them, right? And, you know, just like get them paying something just so you push the deadline. But you really want to make sure that they could get as much as you can up front. And that starts with the prior year tax return. Okay.
Right.
We try to get, and that's what I talked about with the transcripts earlier, right? Like we try to preload with some type of data for the CPA to have a running head start, right? And we can make better assessments than just all like a wage and income statement or something like that. Okay. And nothing else. Okay. So there's some work that you could do up front. Okay. Don't be fooled. There definitely is. And then what we do is we plan our teams out accordingly, right? So we could stagger requests, onboarding requests, that is. Like, so we got, you know, tax season is about to start. We have the prior year files. We have the client's profile set up, right? And then it's about filling in the last year's gap, right? So based off what we saw in the prior year return, what documents do you think we need to be refreshed for this upcoming year? And we start with that. before we even like say hello to the client. And that's like our main talking point when we get in contact with the client. Try to send them organizers, right? Nice and easy checklists, right? The advisor gets a copy of those checklists. The advisor, so if the client, you know, the client's not always going to respond to us or the CPA or the advisor, it could, you know, a request come in. So we have a feedback loop that we make sure that we establish that when something comes to the advisor, they know exactly how to route that those questions back to us in a timely manner. And it has to be timely because, like you said, it's crunch time, right? Like you only have a few weeks here to get all this tax work done. So we establish the ground rules on how to respond to issues, best practices. We bring that to the table, most commonly asked questions, right? Standard practice. And then when it comes close to April 15th, you'll know way in advance, like, you know, how we extend, with what type of information we need to extend, right? And then the follow-up that will happen post April 15th.
I was actually just on a call with about a $30 billion RIA, and a big piece of their success has been partnerships with CPAs. And obviously that's allowed them to bring in a lot of clients. Something like this, do you think it competes with that? Because if RIAs obviously want to partner with CPAs because they can get referrals, build alliances, things like that, maybe get the CPA licensed. Do you see some challenge, or like, do people say, well, I like working with the CPAs, I'd rather not just go to a holistic fintech platform? Or like, I guess, how would an advisor position this when competing for new clients relative to, say, some firm that just says, well, we work with a CPA firm?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, is it really formalized? Like, do you have 100% of your clients from these lead gen sources, or just, you know, section off cohorts, right? And then what you're going to be left with is, you know, underserved portion of your client list, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say that we work with firms that have both. Some that work with CPA firms because they have, you know, deal flow back and forth. And we draw a circle around those clients, and those aren't the ones we serve. The other ones, you know, CPA firms also don't have much capacity these days. Like, they, like, I, you know, like, if you send them just a pure tax client, you know, it's going to be 50% whether they'll accept it or not. Okay. Yeah. And then if they do, it'll be at what price, you know, and it might be egregious. So, you know, there's a fit there. You know, it's very rare that we get 100% of the book of business from anyone, even if we're their sole tax provider, because everyone else has independent CPAs that they probably have relationships with too, right? And then you just got to be ready for them to roll off or them, or be ready to bring up and be like, hey, how much are they charging? You know, would you like to keep everything here? Well, this is what I could offer you. Oh, not this year. Okay, let's revisit it next year. Not a problem, right? And that's usually the trend. You know, you'll have like 20-30% of the book of business that I think is going to be ready to move one way or the other. Sure. And the rest is just a factor of, you know, getting in front of them every year.
Yeah, it seems it's like a no-brainer. If you are an advisor and you're running whatever amount of money you're running, why wouldn't you want them coming to you with their taxes as well? Because obviously, once you have an insight, an inroad to their tax background and everything else, you just gather more information and makes the relationship stronger.
And you know, Derek, like, it also, as you know, when you talk about growth strategy, you know, with the RAs that you talk to, everything's word of mouth. You know, like, no one's gaining the majority of their business from Google AdWords anymore, right? Like, that's not happening for RAs. And so what you want to be prepared for is when your client goes out to dinner with a friend, and that friend brings up financial wellness, right, and who their advisor is and all that stuff, and all of a sudden your client is telling them that you do everything for them, from taxes to planning to trust, right, and they just take care of everything. You know, that's we've seen that's the unsung hero, I think, in the entire story, because it's easy to quantify. It's easy to quantify, you know, what you could charge for the services or whatever, increase AUM, you know, whatever the strategy is. by adding more value add services like taxes. But the unsung hero, the less quantifiable one, is the revenue lost when you're not offering your client that pitch they could make to their friends.
So for advisors listening right now who are thinking about this, but they haven't taken the step, what's the thing that's holding them back that shouldn't be?
Information. They haven't really dug in. They haven't talked to us or to anyone else or looked at buying a firm and understand that's ungodly expensive. Right? They have to, again, there's a little bit of time up front to do some research, some talking, some discovery, right? And getting to the level of granularity that you need to fact gather and make an informed decision. And then doing it also in December is not the right time because there's not enough time to like bring, let alone set you up, but bring the messaging to your clients. Like, right. I offer taxes now and it's already tax season. I kind of already got with, right? So you kind of want to do it, now during conference season, now between now and October, when all these RIA conferences and wealth management conferences are kicking off, I would say have that in mind. We're going to be at all these conferences. I'm sure you're going to see other CPAs there. If this is something you're considering, fact gather and do the work now. So you could probably possibly make a decision in September, October.
This has been great, Ricky. I certainly know, having run a sales team and fundraising and talking to hundreds and hundreds of RIAs, there's no question there's a massive market opportunity here and a big need. So sounds like you built a great platform. We'd love to have you back on the show again, and we appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me, Derek. Have a great day. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
All right, cheers.
This video is for informational purposes only and should not be considered or relied upon as investment advice. It may not be copied, quoted, or referenced without Cyan Investments' prior written consent. Do not rely upon any opinions, predictions, or forward-looking statements contained herein. The views expressed do not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation to purchase securities, nor do they constitute the endorsement of a particular asset class or investment strategy. Neither Cyan Investments nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrants its completeness or accuracy. Certain information contained in this video may constitute forward-looking statements that may be inherently unreliable, and actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected or contemplated herein. Cyan Investments expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to update or revise any information included herein. The views expressed by the guests or participants are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Cyan Investments, LLC, or any of its subsidiaries, officers, or staff. Please be aware of the real risk of loss in following any investment strategy. No investment strategy or asset class referenced herein is intended to be construed as investment advice. You should make an independent, informed decision regarding any investments or strategies only after reviewing all relevant offering or disclosure documentation with your financial professional, and after considering your objectives, risk tolerance, and best interests before making any investment in any financial product. Registered personnel should review any business development initiatives addressed herein with their respective compliance and legal departments. Coverage of such topics should not be construed as compliance or legal advice. It is at the discretion of each respective firm if such practices are consistent with firm policies and procedures.